This is tape number 4300. Derek Prince speaks on the subject, "And Then the End Shall Come." This message is entitled, "You Also Must Be Ready."
This is the fourth and final session in this series of four talks, of which the overall title is, "And Then the End Shall Come." The title of the first talk was, "Ignore It at Your Peril." In other words, you need to give heed to biblical prophecy. If you don't, you will suffer the consequences. The second was the spine of biblical prophecy, and it was basically an interpretation of Matthew 24 and part of Luke 21. The third was "Watchman, What of the Night?" And the theme of that was light and darkness, good and evil, intensifying side by side right up to the close of the age. Now, this final session is intended to be very practical. It's my impression from the Bible that God never gives us just theology or just doctrine or just revelation. And if that's all we teach, we are not completely representing God or fulfilling His purpose. Because with revelation or doctrine or theology, God always attaches a practical application to how we live. I don't believe you can find a single passage in the New Testament that is an exception to that principle. So I want to be faithful to that principle. And in this closing session, I want to give practical application in our lives to the truths that I've been seeking to interpret in the three previous sessions. And the title that I've chosen for this final session is, "You Also Must Be Ready." Let me say that again. You also must be ready. In the previous session, as I've already mentioned, my theme was light and darkness side by side, wheat and tares ripening together until the harvest, the two harvests of salvation and judgment, and then the two Pentecosts, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and at the same time a tremendous increase in the activity of satanic forces and spirits. And the end product of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the bride of Christ. The end product of the satanic activity is a harlot church. Now, my question is, how shall we respond to these truths? What is God asking of us? What is the practical application? And I want to give you a number of simple, really, commandments from the Word of God. God seldom gives us recommendations. When he put the tablets of stone in the hands of Moses, it wasn't 10 recommendations, not even 10 principles. It was 10 commandments. Let's turn first of all to Matthew 24, which is this great spine chapter. And just read, well, we could read verses 43 and 44. We'll focus on verse 44. Jesus says, "But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." When it refers to the thief there, to whom is it referring? It's referring to Jesus. If the master of the house had known when Jesus would come back. Now, Jesus is not a thief, but he says several times, "I'm coming like a thief." A thief doesn't announce when he's coming. He doesn't tell you by what entrance he's coming. He's always designed to take you by surprise. And so Jesus is coming that way. But there's one thing we need to bear in mind. He's not going to be a thief. When he comes, he's only going to take what belongs to him. And if we don't belong to him, he won't take us. And in the light of that, Jesus then gives this application, beginning with the word "therefore." And many of you have heard me say, if you found a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask what it's there for. Therefore, you also be ready. Ready for what? For the coming of the Lord. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. So if you think you know when he's coming, you don't, you see? One thing you can be sure, he's coming at an hour when you don't expect him. So all the people who think they've worked it all out are wrong. I mean, they should have seen it. Because Jesus says, if you think you know, you don't know. Nobody knows. God has designed it that way. You remember that earlier on I spoke briefly about Deuteronomy 29:29? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do them. God has some secret things. The exact time of the coming of Jesus is a secret thing. And I think it's very foolish to try and pry into God's secrets, because we won't succeed. If God's going to keep something secret, none of us are going to find it out. The problem with the people that pry into God's secrets in many cases is they're not doing the things which God has revealed. They get so absorbed in the secret things that they don't apply the revealed things. Moses said the secret things belong to God. Let him have them. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may do them. See, the devil can get us very interested in prophecy theoretically and get us spinning all sorts of fanciful theories and interpretations. But very often, if you observe the people that are doing that, they're not doing what the Bible says they ought to be doing. They've been sidetracked. They've been diverted from the revealed to the secret. So Jesus says, one thing is important. Be ready, and you don't know when it's going to happen. So what? You have to be ready all the time. There never should be a time when you're not ready. Now, I do believe certain things have to happen in the world before Jesus will come. I believe this gospel of the kingdom has to be proclaimed to all nations. I believe there has to be the apostasy of which I spoke, of which Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Lord will not come until the apostasy. But I don't believe any of us will ever know exactly when those things have taken place. See? So it's no good saying, well, I don't need to get ready until. The only recommendation that Jesus has is be ready. I remember we had a sister in a little congregation I pastored in London many years ago in the early 1950s. She was a Jamaican sister. And she always, every time she prayed a lot of things, but one thing she always said was, Lord, help us to remember it'll be too late to be getting ready. Now, I don't know whether it impacted anybody else, but it stayed with me nearly 40 years. It will be too late to be getting ready. It says in the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, those who were ready went in. And those who were getting ready never got in. So we need to live, I believe, in a state of continued preparedness. And that's not an awful burden. It's a delightful state to be in. It's a state of victory. It's a state when we're alert, we're prayerful, and we see what God is doing and we can flow with his purposes. So, what is entailed by being ready? What will be required of us? I want to suggest four things. And the first three are taken from Luke 21. You'll see there's a very close correspondence between Matthew 24 and Luke 21. There's also Mark 13, but I haven't felt free to get involved in that. I'd like to read, first of all, Luke 21, verse 29 through 31, which is called the parable of the fig tree. That comes at the end of this discourse. It's a kind of application of it. Jesus said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, the things that he's been describing in the previous verses, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Now we are in a country which has winter, spring, summer, and autumn. Have it in the wrong times, but nevertheless, you still got the principle, okay? So you can understand this. I've been in countries where they never had spring or autumn, and it's difficult to explain to them. But you know, when winter is nearly over and spring is coming, you walk out and you see the trees, and they've got these little green buds on them. And you know something. What do you know? Summer is coming. That's right. You don't have to go to the university or the public library. You don't have to even go and ask the pastor or the rabbi. That's sufficient evidence that summer is coming. Jesus said, when you see these things in the same way, you know the end of the age is near. The harvest is right at hand. You might go and ask a rabbi and he might misinform you. You might ask some pastors and they wouldn't give you the right answer. But if you'll use your own eyes and your common sense and look at the scriptures and then look at what's happening in the earth, Jesus says, you'll know for sure on that basis that summer is near. Now, some people interpret the fig tree as Israel, which I think has got a lot to be said for it. I don't think you could prove it out of scripture. So Jesus says, when you see the fig tree putting on its leaves, that's an indication that summer is near. Now, if you take this to apply to Israel, let me point out to you, it doesn't speak about fruit. It doesn't say when the fig tree brings fruit. It says when the fig tree puts on its leaves. Now, one thing that's convenient about that is, if you apply it to Israel, it has a specific date. There was a specific date on which Israel put on leaves. And it was the 14th of May, 1948. Israel became a nation. Now, if you accept that, and I mean, we don't have to insist on it, but if you accept that, then if Israel is the fig tree, what are all the other trees? All the other nations. You see, I think one of the most distinctive features of the last, well, let's say the second half of this century, is the upsurge of nationalism all over the earth. And what is that? It's all the trees putting on their leaves. I explained this to my students in East Africa in about 1960. I discovered if I could really show them that the Bible applied to their situation, they would listen to it. And when I was there, there were three countries, Tanganyika, it was called, Uganda, Kenya. They were still British East Africa, but they were all eagerly looking forward to what they called in Swahili, Uhuru, which means independence. And I said to them, you see what's happening? Your trees are putting on the leaves. The attitude was, we don't want to be a colonial nation. We've got our own customs, our own traditions, our own language, and we want to be ourselves. We don't want anybody else telling us how to live. And so the British left, and they became three independent nations. Now, in Africa alone, since World War II, at least 50 new nations have emerged. Some of them we don't even know the names of, most of us. What is that? It's the trees putting on their leaves all across the earth. Then you go to Asia, and you go to South America, and you go to the islands of the Pacific, and everywhere there's the same intense pressure. We want to be a nation of our own. I would say nationalism in that sense is one of the strongest forces at work in our world today. And it seems even in the dictatorships under communism that it's proving too strong for them. Right at this time, the Baltic states are reasserting their nationalism against the Soviet Union. The Armenians are asserting their nationalism. Everywhere, the trees are putting on their leaves. You see, in wintertime, at least if you're like me, one tree looks like another tree. You know, I can't tell from the bark what tree it is. But when they put on their leaves, every tree becomes distinctive. That's what's happening. So Jesus says, when you see the fig tree and all the trees putting on their leaves, that tells you summer is right here. It's rather interesting in a way I can say this being British, but you see, in a certain sense, Israel was the pattern nation because they had to get rid of the British to become a nation. I was living there all through that period, so it's very vivid to me. And after that, nation after nation said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. So here is a very up-to-date, relevant application of biblical truth. And what impresses me about the Bible is it sees the significance of things much more clearly than we do. See, I would say there is no more powerful force at work politically on earth today than nationalism. It's like the sap rising up in all the trees and just causing them to put out their leaves and become distinctive trees, each one with its own culture, its own customs, its own language, and so on.